take hold of a life that really is life. I really enjoy Paul's statement to Timothy for the Ephesians. I think it goes hand in hand with what he wrote also to the church in Philippi, where he states, "Not that I'm referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have." Well, there's an apparel line, maybe some of you have seen it, called Life is Good. Maybe you've seen their hats or their shirts. You know, they usually have kind of an uplifting statement or some sentiment, and always, "Life is good," stated somewhere. And when you look at their website, they say that their mission is to spread the spirit of optimism, which I think is a great ideal, but to me is just kind of an empty euphemism, often sort of like Bobby McFerrin's kind of annoying song, which you all are going to be thankful later when it's stuck in your head. "Don't worry, be happy." Right? Isn't that just it? Think good thoughts. But sadly, I think that sentiment also feeds into the false gospel of the prosperity movement that seems to be rampant in the West. This idea that you name it and you claim it, and then God will bless you with things. And if you have material things and you have riches, then obviously God is blessing you. And if not, then your faith isn't good enough. See, what we have to understand is this idea and this thinking is actually counter to the gospel we proclaim. It's counter to what Paul is trying to instruct the early church and to try to instruct us as well. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to be happy or to be optimistic. But we have to realize, what is the focus of our happiness, of our optimism? Because what it's based on is more important than how we're feeling. What is this life that really is life? It's a life centered on and obedient to the risen Lord Jesus. It's not based on our emotions. It's not based on our circumstances, whether they're good circumstances or bad. Where are we seeking Him first and foremost? And as Paul admonishes, so that we pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, have this foundation so we can receive and take hold of the gift that God wants to give us. And yet contentment often seems so hard to grasp. It often seems that we yearn and we pine, we contrive and plot in order to attain or to gain material or earthly things or status. And think like, well, if I get this amount of money, then I'll be content. If I get this job, then I'll be content. If this happens, then I'll be content. Well, there's a story told of a pilot who, when he was flying, he always looked intently down on a certain valley in the Appalachians when his plane passed overhead. And one day, his co-pilot finally asked him, and he's like, "What's so interesting about this spot that you look at every single time we're on this flight plan?" And he replied, he said, "See that stream down there? When I was a kid, I used to go to that stream, and I would sit on a log and fish, and every time I heard and saw a plane fly overhead, I'd look up and wish I was flying. Now I look down and wish I were fishing." So I think there's a reason Paul tells us and talks about contentment being something that's learned. Because I think contentment often sometimes goes against our sin nature. And so the question becomes, how well are we attempting to learn godly contentment? See, something learned is something that we have to apply ourselves to. It's something that often doesn't come naturally, does it? But over time, with concerted effort, we can gain understanding and learn how to apply it in our lives. Well, there was a bishop who was quite contented and cheerful through a very long period of trials. And someone asked him, "Well, what's the secret of your contentment?" And he replied, I will tell you, I make right use of my eyes. The person was a little confused and asked him to explain. He says, most willingly, first I look up to heaven and remember that my principal business is to get there. Then I look down upon the earth and think about how small a place I shall occupy once I am dead and buried. Then I look around and see the many who are in all respects worse off than I am. Then I learn where true happiness lies, where all our cares end, and how little reason I have to complain. I think especially in the West, unfortunately, we place such a high regard on what we've earned in this existence. What we've earned either monetarily or in terms of status. And yet, as Christians, it really makes no difference whether we have been incredibly financially successful or if we have struggled again and again to make ends meet month by month. What God cares about, how are we using what we do have? How are we using the gifts and talents that God has given us to care for others and to further the gospel that He has entrusted to us? How well are we living a life rooted in Him? Well, a daily devotional called Connect the Testaments, a one-year daily devotional with Bible reading plan, actually has an entry about this very passage that we read this morning. And it goes like this: it's not often that we take an honest look at our motivations, but it's important to reevaluate them regularly. When our sight is not fixed on God, we might become entranced with goals that conflict with godliness. Even though we might initially be performing the right actions, our lives will start to reveal the motives of our heart. Paul addresses this issue within the Ephesian community, where some people were spreading conflict in order to further their own gain. Paul states that godliness with contentment is a great means of gain. But the gain he talks about is not success as we would traditionally define it. Rather than financial riches, Paul presents the idea of complete contentment, of being satisfied with what we have and feeling secure in this life, both eternal and physical, that which with God has blessed us. And this is not just a simple side issue. Paul states that the love of money is the root of all evil. When money becomes our guiding motivation, we're very much tempted to be self-sufficient. Our motives can become muddled, and we try to find our contentment in transient things. In contrast, when we're completely satisfied in God, we won't be tempted by conflicting motives. So we need to check our motivations. What is it that motivates us day by day, hour by hour? May we continue to remember who we are as children of God. Well, there's an illustration that I found, and it goes like this. It's 8 a.m. in the morning. You hear a knock on the door. You go and answer the door, and a man hands you a $100 bill. You go, what is this for? He says, I just wanted to share it. And he leaves. Well, that evening, pretty much, or that afternoon, you go running out and you tell everyone, right? What an amazing blessing you just received. And the next day at 8 a.m., there's a knock on your door. And you go, and this man hands you a $100 bill. And this happens every single day for weeks and weeks on end. And after about 3 weeks, you're just actually about 7:55, you're standing at that door waiting for the knock, right? But by the end of the 7th week, or the 8th week, now you just leave an envelope out there and say, you know, put money here. After 3 months, you go out and check, and the envelope is there, but it's empty. You're kind of shocked. Well, the next day, you go, and again, the envelope is empty. And the third day, you're waiting at the door to kind of see what happens, and you see the guy come and walk past your house and go to your neighbor's house. And you yell after him, hey, it's the wrong house, I'm over here. And the next day, it's the same thing. He walks past your house and goes to your neighbor's house. And this time you're like, hey, come on, he doesn't deserve that. Why are you giving him money for? And then you become kind of angry and resentful and bitter that you're no longer getting something you didn't deserve in the first place. You took it all for granted. In the beginning, a sense of privilege was very high, but over time it diminished. You stopped being thankful and became susceptible to discontent. I often see myself in that illustration. How easy is it to forget what we do have and focus on what we don't? And so, to paraphrase Paul, as we go through our lives, may we do good. May we be rich in good works, be generous and ready to share. And by living this way, we will be storing up for ourselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that we may take hold of the life that really is life. Amen.
Amen.